of bullshit about constitutional rights.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network. And now,
then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America. Made in America.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Tuesday. Always glad to get your phone calls and your emails at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And if you want to vote in our Twitter poll, you can find that at Lars Larson Show on Twitter. You can also find it on our website at LarsLarson.com. If you're not so crazy about Twitter like me, I'm not crazy about it at all. I am curious about this, and that is that for all the money that is spent by the United States, and the last time I checked, the United States actually spends more money on K-12 public education than every other country on the planet. I think Sweden comes in a close second, but even they are second. And yet, despite all that money that is spent on public education, U.S. students don't exactly do very well, especially in the area of math. So I thought we'd talk about this with David Nabhan, who's an earthquake advisory advocate and writer of weekly science columns for both Newsmax and the Times of Israel. And he's the author most recently of Earthquake Prediction, Dawn of a New Seismology, which we'll have to talk about one of these days. David, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
So obviously, if you're an earthquake advisory guy, you got to know a certain amount of math. There's a lot of math that goes into that, isn't there?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. And by the way, it's $30,000 per child spent on D.C. children, for example. Your comment about how much is spent, there's a ton of money spent on kids in this country.
It is. It's extraordinary. I mean, even in the Pacific Northwest where I live, it's close to $18,000 per kid per year, which sounds like college tuition. And people say, well, how could we spend that much money? I said, it's even worse if you figure, say you have an uncrowded classroom that has, say, 20 kids in it. Well, that means you've allocated about $360,000 in resources to that classroom, per classroom. And you say, well, the teacher's making maybe salary and benefits $100 out of that. Where's the other $280 going? And nobody can exactly explain unless it's administration. It's certainly not floor wax and light bulbs. So give me an idea of why spending all that money that we end up with such lousy results when it comes to what kids learn.
Well, my piece in the California Business Journal about, you know, screaming racist at some group of human beings owing to the color of their skins somehow to excuse the endemic lousy math scores of U.S. students is, it's utter nonsense. We've been taken down a road of a really strange path. It's the same. You know, Senator Sasse says it pretty well. This is a government of the weirdos, by the weirdos, for the weirdos. And leading the absurd parade are the race baiters that have made just about everything under the sun supposedly racist. And now to include on their bizarre list mathematics. So this isn't just laughable stuff, though. It's this is Orwellian. This is, you know, part and parcel of a bone-chilling assault on the West. You know, war is peace. Men are women. Police aren't protectors. They're murderers. Child rape is just minor attracted persons doing what comes natural for them. So everything up must turn into down if one is to utterly destroy a culture. And that's exactly what this is. There's nothing liberal or progressive about it. If you're a liberal, you should be up in arms about this. But, you know, I'm a science fiction novelist on top of everything else. And what we're seeing is the worst sort of dystopian sci-fi collapse any author could dream up. But sadly, this isn't pulp fiction. It's reality.
Well, I'm talking to David Nabhan, whose most recent book is Earthquake Prediction, Dawn of a New Seismology. But as he says, he's a science fiction author. But if you took this premise to one of your publishers and said, I've got this new book about a country that decides that 2 + 2 = 5 and to believe otherwise is racist, wouldn't you get a real question?
They'd show me the door.
They say it's implausible.
Yeah, what the tongue-tied Marxo-fascists are trying to say is that it might be a good idea to infuse mathematics instruction with a good bit of interesting history from around the world in order to make it more appealing to students. And, you know, again, this only highlights the vapidity of such a suggestion since it's already been done starting centuries or millennia ago. I mean, Is there anyone who's ever taken an algebra class who didn't have the teacher take a quick sidebar into the life and career of Omar Khayyam or Muhammad Ibn al-Khwarizmi? We all know the word algebra. Algebra is Arabic for reunion of broken parts. The West has supposedly stolen from everyone else and is eager to hide it? That's stomach-turning nonsense. One of our 10 numerals, the most important one, for goodness sake, zero, comes from the Arabic etymology. No one's tried to whitewash or hide that. If it were truly stolen by evil white people, they certainly would have camouflaged the crime by giving it a Western name. All of this is common knowledge, except for those, you know, whose obsession is looking for racists under every bed. Maybe they might not know that, but these are people who've ditched every math class in their life anyway. So,
it seems odd that it's one thing if you said, well, we're going to teach history, and somebody argues that it was the Tax Stamp Act that kicked off the American Revolution. Somebody else could say, no, there were other factors at play. You could have disagreements about that. But 2 + 2 = 4, there shouldn't be any disagreement with that, should there?
Well, there's a great watershed in mathematics instructions led by the carpetbaggers that have peddled their manipulatives. I taught public school in South Central Los Angeles for 2 decades and have watched carpetbagger after carpetbagger come through, throwing out the math books, throwing the times tables out. No, this is all rote. It's terrible. We can't bore the children by making them memorize their times tables. Babylonian children, Roman, Byzantine, Ottoman, every child since there has been civilization has had to memorize their times tables. You can't go anywhere. You can't do tensor calculus without your times tables. If you're going to ditch the times tables, you better get a shovel and a pick, because you're not going to do much other than that. So there's money behind this. These are people, the people that are pushing this, the Common Core disaster that has descended upon the United States schools. You know, No Child Left Behind, except for the tens of millions they've left behind. These are people who are peddling, you know, their bag of tricks, one quick fix after another, one panacea after the other. And in L.A., the results just came out recently, 29% of LAUSD students are proficient at math. The other 71% not doing so well. So. But there'll be another salesman showing up soon with another bag of tricks and some other millions of dollars flushed down the same toilet soon enough. So
I just wonder, David, when these people hit the real world, when they go from being a high school student to being in the real world, and the boss finds out they can't do ordinary math because they were told all along, well, to insist on the correct answer, that's a racist idea, except that if you're in retail, you can't do math. If you're in almost any field, engineering, math, chemistry, being a doctor, and you can't do math, then you've got a problem. You may literally kill people if you don't have the right answer. That's David Nabhan, who's an earthquake advisory advocate, and we will talk to him about one of those at one point. A writer of weekly science columns for both Newsmax and the Times of Israel, and the author most recently of Earthquake Prediction, Dawn of the New Seismology. David, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. When we come back, something really interesting has happened, and the head of a major pharmaceutical company says, maybe we don't...